Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2001, When Unreason Rules.
Hello. In the 19th century, in 1865, an Englishman using the pen name Lewis Carroll wrote Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, in which he described a number of events in a fantastic dream world. The characters in this dream world behaved in erratic and irrational ways. In Wonderland, things just didn't make sense. That's the way many things are in our world today. They just don't make sense. Our society seems to be operating according to some very badly flawed logic. The behavior of public officials and private citizens alike is often irrational, far more often than it should be or than it has been in healthier times. Let me give you some examples. The members of my organization, the National Alliance, distribute much printed material to the general public. Every day, National Alliance members are handing out leaflets at shopping malls, or posting stickers on bulletin boards or power poles or construction fences, or tossing packets of informational material on front porches in residential neighborhoods. Some of the material we distribute contains figures on race and crime, which we obtained from the Department of Justice in Washington, or on race and HIV infection rates, which we obtained from the government's Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. This material is designed to inform the reader on matters that we believe are important. Other material we hand out or post in public places has only a very brief and simple message intended to put open-minded and responsible people in touch with us. An example of this material is a sticker which says simply, "Earth's most endangered species, the white race, help preserve it." That's all. And then it gives a contact address for the National Alliance. None of our material is insulting or derogatory or threatening. It's not intended to offend anyone or generate any sort of hostility. It's intended only to inform people and to put them in contact with us. And it does put many people in touch with us. But the reaction from the mainstream news media and from people who are directly dependent on the good graces of the news media, politicians and bureaucrats, for example, the reaction from these people is really Alice in Wonderland stuff. Every time they see one of our Earth's Most Endangered Species stickers, they become semi-hysterical and denounce it as hate literature. Really, to them the message, "Help preserve the white race," is hate. I'm quite serious. It's not just a few unstable media people who react this way. They all do it. They all denounce that message as hate. And of course, so do all of the people in public office who feel that they must stay in the good graces of the mass media. And they react similarly to our information material on racial crime and AIDS statistics. If one of our leaflets points out that the Justice Department's crime data show that a white person is 55 times as likely to be assaulted by a black as a black is to be assaulted by a white, the media people go berserk and begin shrieking, "Hate, hate." And they are echoed by the politicians and the bureaucrats, including local police officials who already know that the data are factual. They also know that such data are never supposed to be mentioned in public. The public is not supposed to hear about them. One of our pieces of material cites data from the government's Centers for Disease Control to show that a heterosexual black male is 14 times as likely as a heterosexual white male to be infected with HIV. Actually, that figure is derived from data that are several years old, and the ratio of black to white infection rates has been increasing. The actual figure today is more than 15. A heterosexual black male in the United States is more than 15 times as likely as a heterosexual white male to be infected with the AIDS-causing virus. The aim of this piece of material that we distribute is to make white women aware of their much, much greater risk of catching AIDS if they have sexual contact with a black. But the mainstream news media, all of them, denounce this informational material of ours as hateful and racist every time we distribute it in a community to any significant extent. And public officials regularly join their hysterical chorus of name-calling. Local police chiefs refer to our AIDS informational material as hate literature and lament the fact that there is no law against it. This is Alice in Wonderland behavior. I mean, the news media are supposed to keep the public informed about significant matters of public interest. They're not supposed to try to keep the public from hearing about any news, whether that news is agreeable or disagreeable. The police are supposed to protect the public from significant dangers. Does anyone really believe that racial crime data are not interesting to the public? Does anyone really believe that warning the public about the danger of being infected with AIDS by having sexual contact with high-risk groups is not protecting the public? How can trying to keep the public from learning about the danger of AIDS infection possibly be compatible with the police mission of protecting the public? But in fact, the people who control the mainstream news media do try their best to keep you from hearing a lot of news. It's not just their screaming bloody murder whenever they see one of my pamphlets or leaflets with information they don't want disseminated. It's also their management of the news, their deliberate exaggeration of every white offense against a non-white, and the minimizing or suppression of every non-white offense against whites. I've certainly given you plenty of examples of the latter in recent broadcasts. Their total blackout of news on last December's Wichita massacre, the non-reporting of what is happening to white people in Rhodesia and South Africa today. Well, we all understand their reasons for the way they distort and censor the news. The media people are totally committed to the concepts of egalitarianism and multiculturalism. They want everyone else to be totally committed to these things also. In fact, they insist on it. So whenever any evidence appears that blacks and whites really aren't the same, that there are profound psychological and behavioral differences, as manifested in the much higher rate of criminal activity among blacks, for example, or that there are significant physiological differences, as manifested in a much higher susceptibility to infection by HIV, then this evidence must be concealed. If it can't be concealed, then it must be explained away. How do you explain away the criminal behavior of blacks? It's difficult, so you confuse the issue. Every time a white commits a crime against a black, you raise an enormous hullabaloo and drown out all of the other news. If whites are still concerned about black criminality after that, you start beating the drums for reparations. You begin talking fast about how much whites owe blacks for two centuries of slavery. You try to make whites feel guilty for not wanting to live with blacks or have their children go to school with blacks. You try out a few Christian preachers to give racial brotherhood sermons. You persuade the white public, or at least the softer-headed elements among the white public, that if whites will just be nicer to blacks, and we'll give them lots of reparations payments for slavery, then blacks will stop raping, robbing, and killing whites, and we all can live together in multicultural bliss, and whites won't have to feel guilty any longer. What about the much greater danger of our women coming down with AIDS if we let them consort with blacks? What about that 15-to-1 ratio between heterosexual black males and heterosexual white males. Well, you simply deny it. You say that isn't true, that the statistics from the Centers for Disease Control are wrong, and you count on most of the public being too lazy or too inept to look into the matter for themselves. And of course, you scream about hate and racism, and you trot out the Christian preachers again for more sermons on racial brotherhood and togetherness. And you give a big play to all of the new films coming out of Hollywood in which the white heroine beds down with a black and doesn't catch AIDS as a consequence. You make interracial sex seem not only safe, but also fashionable. And you never stop screaming that anyone who tries to persuade the public that sex with blacks is risky is a hater and a white supremacist and a neo-Nazi. These tactics of denial and obfuscation and name-calling and guilt-mongering generally work because the people who know better, the medical researchers and the officials at the Centers for Disease Control, will keep their mouths shut rather than risk being labeled haters themselves. One other thing you do, just to be sure, is try to persuade the public that it may be illegal for us to distribute crime statistics from the Justice Department or racial infection rates from the Centers for Disease Control. It may even be illegal for members of the public to receive this information from us. They may get themselves into some kind of trouble if they accept a leaflet from us in a shopping mall or find a package of informational material from us on the front porch. You don't come right out and say it's illegal because you run the danger of discrediting yourself. So instead, you trot out a politically ambitious chief of police to announce sternly that he is investigating the distribution of hate material and that he has instructed his officers to be on the lookout for whoever is distributing it. Then you send out reporters to interview a few nervous Nellies and self-righteous soccer moms who will say how shocked and horrified they are that hate has raised its ugly head in their peaceful community. You quote one of them saying she is saddened that in the 21st century there are still bigoted people who have not accepted equality and multiculturalism. And you report that a team of police officers is going door to door collecting the material that was distributed before it disturbs more citizens. All of this usually is enough to convince at least the dimwits in the community that there is something dangerous and threatening about anyone who tries to distribute material which calls into question the equality of the races or the desirability of more multiculturalism. If one of these more impressionable citizens sees one of us coming, he'll run for cover and dial 911. This is nuts. It's crazy. Really, the Mad Hatter and the March Hare and the Queen of Hearts in Wonderland behaved more rationally than the media people and police officials and many members of the white public in America behave today. What sort of nightmare world are we living in where the people who are supposed to keep us informed instead deliberately misinform us about some of the most important things happening to us and try to keep us ignorant and confused? And the people who are supposed to protect us collaborate with those who misinform us in order to keep us from being warned about some of the greatest dangers facing us. And a great many members of the public themselves don't behave much better. I mean, really, isn't that Alice in Wonderland stuff? How does a race which has sent men to the moon get away with such wacky behavior here on Earth? Do you really want to know? The answer is rather depressing, but I'll tell you anyway. In the first place, the general public always has been a bit wacky and inclined to irrational behavior. The average citizen always has been ready to believe in witchcraft or miracles, and to go see witches burned in the town square, or watch in awe as some statue is persuaded by a priest to weep real tears. He's always been ready to believe things which his own eyes and a little common sense should tell him are not true. I've talked to World War II veterans who were persuaded 60 years ago by the news media that Adolf Hitler was getting ready to invade America, and we had to invade Europe in order to stop him. And they still believe that if we hadn't teamed up with the Soviet Union to smash Germany and force half of Europe under the communist yoke, the German army would have invaded the United States, and we'd all be in concentration camps now. I spoke with other people just a couple of years ago who really believed that at midnight on December 31st, 1999, airliners would fall from the sky and elevators all over the world would stop working. I laughed at their claims that there would be chaos on New Year's Day 2000, and then explained to them why they were wrong and that the whole Y2K hoax was being promoted by hucksters who had something to sell. Then they became hostile and accused me of working for the enemies of America because I encouraged people not to waste time and money preparing for what they claimed was the imminent Y2K disaster. And I've spoken with even more people who have let themselves be persuaded that there really is no difference between the races and that anyone who does not profess such a belief is a hater. The great mass of our people always have been like that, ready to swallow every hoax and swindle that comes along if it is being promoted by clever enough snake oil salesmen. And certainly, the people who control America's mass media are clever. The soccer moms and the Dudley Do-Rights, who profess themselves shocked and horrified when they see a flyer with crime statistics or HIV infection statistics suggesting that blacks and whites really are quite different. These people are just the 21st century version of the 19th century types who were shocked and horrified that anyone would deny the creation myth in the book of Genesis, and of the 16th century types who were shocked and horrified that anyone would assert that the earth is not the center of the universe. As I said, wacky attitudes and behavior are nothing new for the general public. In good times, the public was fortunate enough to have strong and benevolent leadership by individuals not subject to the general wackiness, strong enough to crack heads in order to keep the snake oil salesman from taking excessive advantage of the public's gullibility, and benevolent enough to provide a positive example and protection for those members of the public independent-minded enough to free themselves from the reigning superstition. In bad times, the snake oil peddlers were in the ascendancy, and witches, that is, those citizens who seemed reluctant to participate in the general wackiness, were burned by the thousands. Today, the snake oil salesmen definitely are riding high. At the moment, they do not have the power to consign heretics and skeptics to the torture chamber and then burn them at the stake. But the people who should be our leaders and who should keep the snake oil salesmen in check, the people who are rational by nature and who hardly should be expected to have been taken in by the foolish notions that the races are equal in capability and identical in nature, and that multiculturalism is a desirable state of affairs, these leaders are going along with the snake oil salesmen. In past centuries, the leaders might be forgiven for permitting the snake oil salesmen to operate. The snake oil, by providing behavioral and ideological guidelines for the masses, whether those guidelines were entirely rational or not, kept them out of trouble, kept them from becoming restless, and allowed the leaders to go about their more enlightened affairs without having to crack the whip over the mass of citizens. Today, the foolishness of egalitarianism and multiculturalism certainly are not keeping the masses out of trouble. They are carrying the whole society, the whole race, livings and leaders alike, to disaster. Why are the leaders of our society, the intellectual leaders, the business leaders, the military leaders, the political leaders, all collaborating with the snake oil peddlers and behaving as irrationally as the Duchess and her household retainers behaved in Alice's nightmare world of Wonderland? I could talk for a week about that, but the short answer is that our society today is more corrupt than it has been in centuries. The corruption has spread to every level. Greed and cowardice have infected the white leadership stratum as much as the masses. There used to be some aristocratic qualities in our leaders, a bit of pride and dignity. Today they are all very democratic and don't mind at all making fools of themselves and behaving like the characters in Alice's nightmare as long as they can hang on to their wealth and privileges. Actually, there's more to it. In past centuries, the snake oil peddlers could wave their holy water around and threaten hellfire and damnation, but that frightened only the dimwits. Today, the snake oil salesman can wave fistful of money and threaten to cut off credit and impose boycotts and withhold government contracts. And that frightens all too many of those who should be leaders. Furthermore, through the process of democracy, the snake oilers have brought the government under their spell and are able to use the power of government to intimidate leaders who, as a class, are more easily intimidated today than in the past. Finally, things really are more difficult and discouraging than they used to be. If I were a university president, or a general in the army, or the chairman of a big multinational corporation, or a U.S. senator, I'd be very discouraged about trying to straighten things out, at least about trying to fix things by working within the system and going according to the rules. And even when one contemplates breaking the rules, things don't seem very promising. If I were a top general contemplating a military coup, I'd be very discouraged by the fact that the patriotism and the sense of personal honor that used to be taken for granted among my fellow officers are mostly gone now. What other generals could I trust? The corruption has spread too far. Better, perhaps, to just continue parroting the same irrational Alice in Wonderland nonsense as everyone else. When everyone is acting like a fool, then one's own foolishness is not so likely to cause embarrassment. Well, that's one way of looking at the nonsensical nature of our society today and the irrational behavior of so many of our people. As for me, I believe that it's not half so important to make excuses for it or explain it as it is to simply recognize that it is terminally corrupt and is carrying us all to our destruction, and then to begin dealing with it as such. It has become a bit late for the easy ways, for the electoral solutions and the military coups. And so we had better be thinking about the hard ways, the radical ways, the total ways. And we'd better be thinking about them now. Thanks for being with me again today.